But we start this evening with the Booker shortlist announced earlier today. No luck for the Irish, unfortunately, as Kevin Barry's long-listed night boat Tangier didn't make it into today's group of six. Sinead Gleeson has been looking through the titles on the shortlist. She's with me in studio now. I know I was disappointed, and I suppose it's a kind of a parochial thing to be disappointed for Kevin Barry, but I'm sure we all are. Were you, Sinead?
Oh yeah, I was certain he was going to be on there. It's a super novel, and I think it's one of the strongest on the list. But then lots of the books that I read and loved from the long list aren't on the short list. I think Deborah Levy's new novel, which was published last week, is incredible. It's one of the books of the year. Valerie Luiselli, who's it's an author in translation. All of her work is fantastic. Yeah, really strange. It's a solid list. I think it's quite a safe list and has a mix of kind of heavy hitters and people we haven't heard from before, which is always what it is. As Julian Barnes famously called the Booker posh bingo, and it is a bit like that every year.
And Max Porter's Lanny, which was the follow-up to Grief is a Thing with Feathers, and we spoke to him about that.
It's an extraordinary book. Yeah. I mean, it's doing something that books don't necessarily do. It looks like a screenplay. Like the text literally weaves all over the page. It doesn't look like a straightforward novel. It's beautifully told from a child's point of view. There's loads of folkloric and sort of mysterious kind of Wicker Man type elements to it. I loved it as well. Yeah. I can't believe it's not there. So a funny list.
But I guess you have to get a list of six, and no matter what would be there, I'm sure some of the judges had to make compromises to get to an agreed list of six. It's hardly surprising that Margaret Atwood is there for the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale, a book called The Testaments. This sequel is a sequel to the novel. It's nothing got to do with the television series. It was almost certain she was going to be there at although how they even know what the book's like is a bit of a mystery.
This is it. Nobody knows. I mean, there's almost been like, you know, the book will arrive with a team of security guards in a lead casket, and then you'll have to give like a recite five quatrains of poetry before they'll open it up and give it to you. I'm lucky enough to be talking to you about the book next week, but I won't get the book until Friday because that's what the security element is. So all we do know is that the book is set 15 years after the end of Offred's story in The Handmaid's Tale. So, and that's as much as we know. So we don't know where she is, who's alive, who's dead, where she is, what's going on. But I think, as it has been called many times, this is probably the publishing event of the year. Everybody's been talking about this since
it was announced. Because of the television series? Because effectively season one of The Handmaid's Tale is the book.
Pretty much, yeah.
After that, it's all...
It just gets grimmer and grimmer. But I think so. It can't have hurt at all. But then, you know, Atwood has been on this, the Booker list six times. Yeah. She's a previous winner in 2000.
She doesn't need a TV series.
No, she doesn't. But I think there's been so much interest, not least because her work on The Handmaid's Tale, I think, reflects a lot of... the horror that's going on in the world at the moment. People have really kind of related to it and tapped into it. So yeah, she's on there. Not a surprise, I think, at all.
And another big name, probably not a surprise that he's there, is Salman Rushdie, winner back in 1981.
Yeah, winner in 81, and then they did a Booker of Bookers 25 years later, and then when the Booker was 40 years old, they did a similar thing, and it won all of those things.
Midnight's Children,
And I say that as somebody who adores that book and has bought it for many people, and yet I feel like many of his contemporaries, you know, the Martin Amis's and maybe Ian McEwan, a little bit of that group of writers who all come up together. It's a long time since they wowed me with something that they've done.
The
feel
early
similar.
Stuff is where
yeah,
it's at.
And this latest book, Quichotte, it's Quichotte, which Quichotte. It's his retelling of Don Quixote in the way that Jeanette Winterson was on the long list for her retelling of another older story, which is happening a lot in literature. So it's sort of him. It's a traveling salesman who's sort of pursuing this film star, but then there's a kind of a meta writer in here, who's a New York-based Indian writer who's also writing Quichotte stories. So the reviews have not been that kind. They've been quite mixed. I'm really surprised to see him on this list at the expense of other people. But then he's been on here a few times and he's won before, and maybe sometimes there's always going to be a mix of heavy hitters and people we don't know, and that's what happens with the list. But I didn't expect him to be on here, but there he is.
Yeah. And those two, I suppose, Atwood and Rushdie, very much, you know, the centre of English language publishing in many ways.
Yeah.
Not big surprises there. And for those who are maybe not as high up in the pecking order as Atwood or Rushdie would be, must be delightful to be there, not least of whom, Lucy Ellman.
Yeah, I mean, also Lucy Ellman's book, people have probably been hearing about this book. It's the 1,000 page book that's told in a single sentence, which would make you think of Mike McCormack's Soul or Bones.
I've done before.
It's one of those kind of stream of consciousness, very ruminative thing. It's a sort of Ohio housewife staring out the window, reflecting on her life and lot and grief, but also looking at American contemporary society. society. So maybe, you know, good gun culture and what's happening in American politics. It's also published by Gally Beggar, who would be probably the only small press on the shortlist. Gally Beggar, of course, famously published Emer McBride's Girl is a Half-Formed Thing and launched her career. So it's wonderful to see them on the list, because that's what often happens. People don't see the jockeying that goes on behind the book, or there are all sorts of rules. If you've had published a previous winner, if a winner himself has a book out that year, they're automatically entered. But
and it's the publishers who put forward these books.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the judges can call in a certain amount of them, but you can't just randomly enter all your books in. There's a certain limit to how many. If you've had a previous winner, you're allowed to put that person in, or you have a certain number of books. There's all sorts of like quotas and caveats. So for a book like that, especially something that's very big, very experimental, and from a writer we haven't heard before, she's also the only American on the list, even though she lives in Scotland. And I remember, you may remember a couple of years ago when they opened the book out to American writers, and then they all started to win. Paul Beatty, George Saunders, and there was people thinking, well, look, they have their Pulitzers, we have the Booker, and it's going to be dominated by Americans, but not this year.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder, is this a levelling up exercise?
Well, it's also the first year the Man Booker are not the sponsors anymore. It's the Booker Prizes. There's a philanthropist involved in funding the prize, and maybe that's contributed to it as well.
Lucy Elman and Margaret Atwood, two of the four women on the shortlist. Who are the other two?
Bernardine Evaristo, who's a very acclaimed British writer. Actually, bizarrely, I saw her read at a festival at the weekend in the UK and was talking to her briefly. Her book is probably, like Elman's, the other quite experimental book on the list. It's called Girl, Woman, Other, and it focuses on 12 black women's lives, go in different parts of their lives, different decades. It also intersects their stories, but what it also is looking at is sort of race and culture. And what she does is she's telling some of the stories in prose, so it looks straightforwardly like a novel, but parts of it are because prose poem and look like poetry. So she's doing something with the sort of form that I think Elman is doing with the one sentence. So they'd be the two experimental books. And sometimes, you know, it's great that the Booker does that, because sometimes it can go for very straightforward, very linear narratives, and those two books are not that.
And the other woman is Elif Shafak, the Turkish novelist. I spoke with her at last year's Ennis Book Club Festival. She's an amazing woman.
She is. I mean, she's in her late 40s. She's published 17 books, 11 of those are novels. She's very outspoken politically. She's been a huge voice for female voices, for activism, for women's rights in Turkey. They don't like her at all. She's under investigation, and basically when you write it, so her book is a very disturbing but very lyrical book. It's told from the point of view of a sex worker who's been assaulted and is dying basically in a rubbish tip, and reflecting back on her life. So the book is looking at how, you know, patriarchal structures and cultures where women are not treated very well or don't have as many rights, how that can lead them to the places there are in their life. So it's very dark, but that's her work has always been very political, so it's no surprise she wrote about that.
10 minutes 38 seconds in This Strange World is the title of the novels, which leaves the one man that accompanies Salman Rushdie, who is the final writer that makes up the list,
which is Chigozie Obiama, who's a Nigerian writer. And again, the last 3 or 4 years there haven't been a lot of African writers on the list, so it's great to see the return. He's also, this is his second novel, and he was shortlisted the last time as well for his first book. Also, sometimes the Booker can be a little bit po-faced, a little bit serious, and this book has quite a lot of comic moments in it. It's called An Orchestra of Minorities and focuses on a chicken farmer in Nigeria who wants to go to Cyprus to better himself because he's in love with the girl and he thinks her parents will just think that dude's just a chicken farmer. But he pays a lot of money for his education. He ends up getting scammed, and that's kind of where the book starts. So it's very funny, and he's quite a young writer, but it's good to see a bit more diversity.
I should have asked you about the Rushdie book as well. Who was the judge who published Midnight's Children back in 1981?
Yeah, this is a slight problem this year. Liz Calder, she was his editor and published Midnight's Children in 81, and now she's on the panel of judges. And I wonder, I mean, they're saying that...
Is it a small world, the publishing world?
Four other people, and we all know with any prize, there's a lot of jockeying and arguing goes on. So it would have been unlikely that she would have been able to make the case for him if the other four didn't have some interest in the book.
Anybody bubbling to the top of the list for you at the moment?
I think I think this is going to be Margaret Atwood's year. But last year, you know, Anna Burns was a very experimental kind of book. I could see Lucy Elman being the sort of dark horse. I'd love to see Bernardine Evaristo win, but I think it's going to be Atwood.
All right, well, we shall see that on October the 14th, which is the date that the winner of this year's Booker Prize will be announced. Sinead Gleeson speaking to us about the 6 books announced on today's shortlist. You can find out full details on thebookerprizes.com.